Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia, rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If that's where you listen, we appreciate it. We appreciate everybody who has done so already. Syracuse football closes out their season. They'll finish 1-10 on the year. They were dropped by number 2 Notre Dame, 45-21. Syracuse basketball starts 3-0 on the year. Dominating Rider Bronx, 87-52. You'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in fan feedback and squeezing a ton in tonight. And
yeah,
Syracuse will go on the road and face Rutgers Tuesday night. And Joe is going to have all of that for you. Is that game really at 9:30? Is it really? I'm just looking at this. It says 9:30 ESPN2.
So, yeah, it is.
Okay, awesome. Sweet. I can't wait. So, we are going to try. I just randomly Facebook Live the game. I didn't really hang out and watch it with anybody. I just kind of set it up. I was in and out, but I was mostly not paying attention. So last night, I actually hung out and I had a blast with everybody. If you were there and you're listening, appreciate you showing up. It was fun. I didn't mean for it to be fun, but it was. The only reason I was doing it was because some people in Syracuse, I knew they weren't getting the game, so I bucked the system, man. You know, and we want to try to find a better way to do this, maybe get Joe in on it and have some more fun, watch some games together. So I have an idea of what we can do, and I have something more long-term, but unfortunately we can't do it on Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We have to do it on Facebook Live, so I'm just trying to figure out how to use all the equipment with that, because I have it set up for Facebook Live where we can use the equipment and everything. So anyway, we'll figure it out. It'll be fun.
We'll try.
Yeah, no, I think I've got a couple good ideas on you know, what we can do. So, the thing about it is really is to just how to get you in and get the sound right, because I want when you record in a room on your phone, audio from a TV, it's horrible sounding. So there's got to be a way to make that better. And I think I have an idea. So we will try it. All right, let's listen to see what Coach Babers had to say after the loss against Notre Dame, last game of the season. Let's hear from Coach.
I've got to go back and watch the tape. Obviously, Cooper Lutz is, I thought he was really good, but I didn't know he was that fast. And then, you know, Sean's been steady all day, all year long. And then that one run he had was really, really good. You know, he made one guy miss, cut back inside the corner, jumped over number 20, a safety, and I'm sure 14 was around somewhere, and then he outran 14 to the end zone. So it was a really, really good run. You know, obviously this is not the season that we wanted, but there's growth. You can see guys developing. It's going to help them. When you have a guy that gets hurt, and he doesn't get to practice the entire year, he goes stagnant. And it's really disappointing and it's concerning that they're going to come back exactly where they were before the pandemic started, basically. And, you know, there's nothing we can do about those, the cards that we've dealt. But the ones that played this year, they should be a lot better. Our record is what it is, but it doesn't act like, nor does it feel like our record. And, you know, you can look at it and go, hey, that's bologna cheese. You're trying to make it sound better than what it is. It is what it is. I understand what it is. Okay, it'll be with me the rest of my life. But I also understand that these guys are out here and they're playing and they're fighting and they're young and they don't even know yet. I mean, there's guys out on the defense, and I mean a lot of them, that can't touch me in the weight room. And I'm almost 60 years old. And this is not about me, but I'm like, they can't even lift with me. But and that starts to happen when their body starts to change. And now when they hit people, instead of the person falling over them for a 2-yard gain, they're hitting them and they're going back for 2 yards. That's when football gets to be fun. Well, these guys, they're gonna grow up, they're gonna lift up, they're gonna build up, and then they're gonna be really, really good players. And you know, Coach Kelly was talking about that before the game. He says he was going through our roster and he was like, hey, you guys are gonna be good, just stick with it. And I looked at him, I said, I believe that as well. I just got to let them grow up. The puppy's got to turn into a dog, and we're going to be okay.
The Coach Montage is brought to us by the title sponsor for this show, for Armchair Media and Tie Thoughts, Bet Online. Now, you know what's bologna cheese? This is what's bologna cheese. An empty dome. That's bologna cheese. You might not be able to get into a game this year at the dome, but you can still get in all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coach and props. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, Bet Online. Now, while we're talking Bet Online, our last ACC picks of the week for college football are in the books. And Joe goes the first week of the year is the first one. Joe is the first one to go undefeated for the week. So you're awesome. Mm-hmm. You're awesome, Joe. You're so proud.
I knew you'd say that.
So proud of you. So proud. So proud. No good, bad, and ugly, but just a little recap here. Syracuse took a 7-3 lead, and everything looked pretty good, man. Rex Culpepper to Anthony Quealy for a touchdown halfway through the second quarter, and you're thinking, man, can it happen? And then a momentum-killing penalty on third down on an incomplete pass gave the Notre Dame Fighting Irish a first down. Kingsley Jonathan brushed Ian Book's face mask, and resulted in an eventual 7 points for Notre Dame. Notre Dame would go on to, and you just felt it. You just felt the deflation leave with, you know, 5 minutes left in the half. Notre Dame would score 3 times in just over 3 minutes before halftime. 8 penalties overall, including a Markenzie Pierre targeting penalty, which got him ejected on a punt return. 3 Q's fumbles and an interception. It obviously made things that much more impossible in a game where Syracuse, you know, had to go in and play perfect, and they really, really held it together for a long time, man. Just obviously outplayed Notre Dame, just that good. So they're not number 2 for nothing. Notre right. Dame, though, has not allowed a 100-yard rusher all season, but Syracuse somehow pulled off 2 in 1 game. It's so Syracuse. Isn't that so Syracuse, man? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Sean Tucker with 24 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown, and Cooper Lutz with 6 carries for 102 yards, averaging 17 yards a carry and 1 touchdown after a late 80-yard rush. And just I think that was our best rushing game of the season, by the way, against a defense that's not allowing that type of thing to happen all year. So, Joe, a frustrating season comes to an end, but, you know, this team, they came to play every game, and despite some of the results, they kept buying into what Coach was selling, and at the end of the day, I think we can take that away as a positive, that along with obvious freshmen getting a lot of burn this year, and move on to next year, see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it in nauseam over and over again. I don't think we really need to hit it up. Yeah, I think the rushing, as far as this game goes, I mean, Cooper Les had an 80-yard rush, and Tucker had a 40-yard touchdown. And a lot of that was late. So, I mean, it's a good stat, good for them. But obviously, turnovers and penalties being sloppy, we've talked about how our narrow of margin to win is very slim. So when we lose the turnover battle 4-2 and, you know, 8 penalties for 90 yards to their 4-40, then we're not going to beat a team like this. But again, they hung in there. Some questionable calls, some would probably say, to kind of give them some momentum going into halftime.
The Rex Culpepper fumble, I believe it was the first one.
Yeah.
Clear. I thought it was clear. Now, obviously I'm biased, but if I thought I saw something that indicated to me that his knee wasn't down before he started to fumble that ball, I would say it.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole thing is that that play right there really just depends on what they call on the field.
Yeah, you know, I agree. I think it sucks, though. I think if you look at that replay, though, I think it's, you know, you got to look for indisputable. I believe it was indisputable. I don't think that ball was coming out of there until his knee was down. That's me.
It was very close, and some of the play, the looks weren't great. So, again,
yeah, the angles.
With the call. They went with the call on the field. But, you know, Baber's talking to the whole, you know, Chris Elmore had to, because when it came to these games, right? I think every position kind of had, like, you needed to have a minimum amount of healthy players, or you know, players that were
available,
that were putting on, yeah, that were available per position to even play the game. So you know, just figuring out that Chris Elmore had to step up and be an offensive lineman, not only to help but also so they could play the games, you know. So the sacrifice that people made in playing most of the year with around, what, 60, 65 scholarships, when normally it's 85. Obviously, there's some issues there. And again, like what you said, they didn't quit. It never felt like the coaches lost the team. It never felt like
never was like bad news bears out there.
When it rains, it pours, right? It's like, you know, you get a bad penalty when we could have stopped them. They get a quick touchdown. We get the ball back. Rex Culpepper fumble back right into another touchdown. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff, you know, into another penalty. You know, that kind of stuff, that'll get better with experience and with playing with each other. But yeah, I think, you know, with the cards that were dealt, again, I think it just comes down to back what we said from the beginning. I'm just glad there was a season.
I'm just glad there was a season, too. Syracuse, though, the story of the year is just that, and it was kind of a bad news bears type of thing. So it really kind of was, because they were their own worst enemy a lot of times throughout the year. I mean, there were so many times where, you know, just the rough in the passer call with the brush in the face mask like that. Like, you can't do that. I get that. It's the rule. I don't think it was a bad call. I just think it, just like, for that circumstance, throwing an incompletion, third down, Syracuse getting the ball back, it sucks. And they go and score. So those types of things
happen. Yeah, and I hate those calls, too, because, again, we've seen it happen to our quarterbacks and nothing gets called, right?
Well, I thought the officials in that game sucked. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was great. And what do you expect?
A lot of people didn't think so. Yeah, no. Yeah. And again, a lot of people didn't think so. And that's just one of those things that I kind of do see in sports, especially like college. If you're not a really like high up there prospect, I mean, then sometimes you get hit and they don't call it when they probably should, right?
Yeah.
But then you get an Ian Book or, you know, some people who had talked about Heisman and the greatest winning percentage for Notre Dame as a quarterback and all this other stuff. Like, you know,
the whole halftime show was Notre Dame highlights and clips throughout the year and all this and that. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're on the Notre Dame channel.
Sure, I know. To my point, though, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And it's absurd that even that's even allowed to happen, to be honest with you. And we've talked about this before. Yeah. But that's absurd. That's crazy. So it seems corrupt. It's
let's go Clemson.
Yeah, let's go Clemson. I was tweeting to somebody or it was Robert on Facebook, and I reiterated it on Facebook. Actually, I said something on Twitter about it. I think I was talking with Acuse Waterboy, and I'm like, I'm Clemson from here on out, man. That's it. ACC championship. I'm gonna root for them. And that's not even something I would normally do. I don't think I would do that in basketball.
I don't know. I think I normally cheer against Notre Dame. So.
Oh, I would normally cheer. Yeah. Yeah, that. But cheer for Clemson, no. Anyway, it is what it is. So I did propose the question, Joe. I'm going to give it to you first and see what you got. I asked for one positive takeaway and obviously one negative takeaway to cap off the year.
I think the positive takeaways that I would say, and again, I'm not kind of echoing, but there's not really too many, right? So a lot of people are probably saying the same thing, right? But yeah. I think that the way that they handled COVID was pretty impressive. Just the fact that they didn't even have cases, and it just seems like that was like the one issue that we didn't have, right? Mm-hmm. That we didn't run into. And then also just, you know, the young players, the defense, just seeing what Tony White coordinators he's got, and the future looks bright on the defensive side for sure. So those would be the positives. And the negative.
I asked for one, but go ahead.
Sorry. Negative
Joe,
is
Joe
just,
being Joe.
It's all negative good. Is 2020.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Negative is the COVID bullshit that they had to go through, and the fact that there's no fans. You know, there's going to be no fans in the seats, or there wasn't any. So that was a negative as far as I was concerned. I just thought that I wish that could have worked out a little bit better in their favor, especially considering that they did everything they had to do to not get cases. So to not even be able to say, hey, you did your thing, and now it's the last game of the season, senior night, we'll have your parents be able to come in and social distance. And you couldn't even do that. I think that's probably, you know, the negative portion of it, I think, for this team.
At Nick Feely on Twitter, positive has to simply be all the young players that got experience. Biggest negative for me is the QB situation and the fact that Dino's offensive scheme doesn't seem to get any production going no matter who the quarterback is. And, well, we've dealt with these 2 years with offensive line issues. Really, I mean, just a lot of it. And I don't know if we have a true feel of the scheme because he had Dungy really wasn't implementing his scheme, his different play. And then the first 2 years of Tommy DeVito, well, he's out most of this year, and then last year was just, you know, we remember how that was much like this year, only he didn't get injured. So
I would have liked to have seen what this offense would have looked like if DeVito would have stayed healthy, and maybe we had Jarvion and Abdul Adams not really opt out and play.
Yeah.
Never really know. So
right. And maybe even Chris Blake gets the waiver. Who knows?
Yeah, that probably would have helped too, huh?
if and butts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Anyway, Accuse Waterboy, youth movement makes for an awesome future, and his negative injuries and depth need to be addressed. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think we've got the depth now, and we've got the depth coming in, right, Joe? I mean, I think it looks good.
We don't got a lot of guys going anywhere, and we don't even know out of the seniors who's going to stay. So you'd like to think that, you know, obviously our depth's going to get better because we're bringing in all these guys, still probably going to hit up the transfer portal, and we have so many other guys returning. So the depth's going to be there. It's just, who's going to be there next year? Who's going to fight for those positions? Because I tell you what, some of these positions are going to be up for grabs for some of these incoming people, freshmen, people that opted out that are coming back, and transfers alone.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't put it in the montage because it got choppy during the press conference.
Oh, yeah,
but
that was bad.
Every time. I mean, both of them. It's agonizing.
That one was really bad.
Dino's. Yeah, it was. So he was talking about, he was asked, you know, when does he expect to hear from the seniors if they're going to opt back in for their extra year? And then he was also asked about some of the scholarship stuff. And he didn't really give a good answer, but the transfer portal does open up in January. And I don't expect to hear anything until January anyway. So you mentioned looking into the transfer portal and, you know, seeing what's in there. Obviously, coach has got to figure out what he's got for scholarships and all that stuff going into there before he can figure it out. And he mentioned, you know, it's not really fair that it could take that long, but, I mean, it is what it is. So no real answers on who's coming back. I'm just want to let you guys know that none of that information's going to be out, and probably, according to coach, till sometime in January or after Christmas.
Yeah, it seems to me like again, this year is going to be a lot different because at the end of the years, usually in the recruiting years, and especially after you get through early signing period, now you're scrambling to fill spots. You might, you know, drop and maybe take some chances on some guys that you normally wouldn't, but you have open scholarships. in this situation now, it seems to me like they got majority of the guys that they want. Obviously lost out on a couple. They got two guys or three guys I think they're looking at now, but I don't think they're going to extend anything else outside of those three guys because they're going to be looking to see who's coming back for seniors, and I think they're going to be looking heavy into the transfer portal. Transfer portal is going to be huge this year.
Yeah, it's going to have to be, yeah.
It's going to be like free agency.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
For NFL.
Yeah, and you just got to, like I said, you got to just – I know that – so the scholarship thing right now is convoluted, and it's going to get confusing. So we'll just see, obviously, what happens with that. Maybe we'll have someone come on and help us with that. Might be a good idea. So – maybe I'll reach out to someone. Someone I've been thinking about having on anyway for football, and we'll see how that goes. Zach on Facebook. Top fan Zach on Facebook. That's right. Positive. We have a ton of super talented freshmen. O-line was not that bad this game. Play calling was pretty good this game. We actually ran the ball. Negative, we need a Power 5 quarterback. We need a Power 5 O-line. Hit the transfer portal, as we mentioned, hard this season. Should have been drastically different. Don't let the scores fool you. We are our own worst enemy this season. I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, though. It seems Gilbert and company are starting to understand what needs to be done on offense. We could have had this game. Yeah, I mean, you know, I just don't think they could outlast the athleticism of Notre Dame. I just, you know, we wanted it to be close, and to be honest with you, they played hard for 25 minutes. They really did. It was just,
they played with them.
They played hard.
They're always going to play hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they spiraled out of control, and then just, you know, there were some dumb penalties in there and stuff. Yeah, I know.
Just overall, Notre Dame's offense is so balanced and their defense is so good that, again, it didn't even really look like they tried anything too crazy on us. They looked like it was kind of very vanilla, just get in, get out. You know, and that was one of the points that we talked to as far as covering, you know.
Yeah.
Once we got to that, I mean, even though they scored a bunch in this near the end of the second quarter, like, I still thought we were in a good position to cover. And then when the runs broke for touchdowns,
was it, 34?
33 and a half.
33 and a half. Okay. Well, I think we bet on it. Maybe it was 33 and a half. Anyway, Tim on Facebook, top fan, positive. A lot of young guys definitely gained experience, which is not only rare, but also invaluable to a team like this that isn't stacked with talent. That's a great point, and it's a great way to articulate it, too. Negative is it was a one-win season. And one could go on and on with all the excuses and make this year what it is. I personally think it's pointless to do so. It is what it is. The season is over. Time to move on. And hopefully next year is a better one. Now, I don't think it's going to even be a question that next year is going to be better. I think that if the issues weren't exposed enough last year, a year of this, I don't see how it could always be worse, but I think there's so much room for it to be better. I mean, and by obviously there's room for it, but what I mean is just the talent coming in, the talent that we had that's going to be here coming back next year. Like we talked about, we don't know what's going to happen in the transfer portal and all these things. This is like the transfer portal is going to be like Christmas, like Joe said. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, who knows what you can get out of it. So Robert on Facebook, biggest positive with six freshmen on defense. They are going to be very good in the future. Negative, we need a quarterback. I truly hope people now appreciate Dungy a little more. Well, as if you needed a reason to appreciate Dungy, but the things he did with what he had, obviously...
I mean, there was fans questioning him all the way up to his senior year.
Sure,
so,
sure, yeah.
You know, but yeah, we talked about that this year. So, and really, to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, as much as DeVito wasn't great, I mean, it kind of made me appreciate him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree, sure. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Like, I know people are like, oh, let's see what Rex can do. And then it was like, let's see what the next guy can do. And then I think I don't know about everybody else. And I know that people can get good over, you know, Jacobian Morgan and Dylan Markowitz. They might be able to get a little bit better. Justin Lamson coming in. Who knows what we get from the transfer portal. But, it was pretty obvious after a couple games that it was like, okay, wow, DeVito is our best quarterback on our roster.
Yeah, so... And, yeah, like you said, you just appreciate – you don't realize how much you can appreciate one until they ain't there.
But we got to bring somebody in to kind of push him.
Yeah, I agree.
Either push him or replace him.
Right. Kevin on Facebook, one more positive. They played every game in this crazy year. No one was put on the COVID list, which Joe mentioned. They took care of themselves and each other. This should be commended. Negative. I know they ran a lot of young guys out there, but the QBs stunk. They need to hit the transfer portal and find someone for a year and let Morgan and this Lampson kid develop and let those two battle it out in 2022. So,
yeah,
again, future. We're always we've been looking ahead when we knew what was going on this year, and it was just important, I guess, really, to gain some experience and get out there and see what we could do. One win season. We said, you know, it didn't matter if they won zero games.
Yeah.
We just want to see them all played. Right?
Right.
And we did.
And to what one of the comments said about, you know, it's rare for these guys to get experience. That's actually, you know, really true when it comes to especially good teams. You have your upperclassmen.
Yeah.
Your upperclassmen, your guys that you know are going to start, right? So it's very rare to be able to have a season where you can really you got talent that you know what they can do that's injured or opting out, right? You got a recruiting class coming in. You're down to what, around 60 scholarships. So you're playing guys you normally can't play. So you're getting a good look at all these players that usually you don't get a good look at for 1 or 2 years. So really, kind of just gives you a positive because if anything, you see what everybody can do on your team and kind of gives you a better kind of vision of like what you're missing, what you need to replace, what you really need to get better. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's a wrap for football. We will revisit football when there's news, and we'll look ahead and just keep you updated on everything going on.
Most likely recruiting news.
Yeah, recruiting and transfer news and all that stuff, and maybe have a, you know, I don't want to sit and harp on the football stuff. Like, I feel like we just kind of repeated ourselves a lot. I was trying to get some different ideas in there, and it's tough to go through kind of looking at the same issues every week and still have a show that's trying to be different every episode, right? So
right.
It was a struggle, but you know, we did our best. So anyways, Syracuse defeated Rider pretty handily. What was the final score? 87-52. Here's what Coach Boeheim had to say after that game.
Tonight, Marek and Quincy didn't do a lot, but somebody else did it. And that's what we have to learn to do. Different guys, different nights. But we just shot it. You know, when you shoot it that well, I think Rider's going to be pretty good. They've got a lot of guys that can play. But, you know, it's also their first game. That's always difficult just to open up your first game like that. But, you know, our defense was good. And, you know, we made some bad turnovers that, you know, hopefully we'll get better. Questions? Well, I think Woody's really stepped up. I like what he's done. I really do. I think everybody else, it's a little bit of work to do. I was actually encouraged Frank's last 5 minutes. He was good. He was active. He moved. I thought he was good. I think Bowl moved well. We've got a lot of work to do there. And obviously, playing a, you know, top 20 team, Rutgers on the road, they're a good, really good team. They would have been a tournament team last year, and they look like a tournament team this year. So it's a different ball game. But we've had a couple games under our belt that's helped us. And, you know, but, yeah, it's a different game. But we're just not where we would like to be at this time. Overall conditioning and game readiness, you know, we're not where we like. You don't miss 17 days of practice and get there. So, you know, you just got to keep working and make the best of it. Every team in the country is having, not every team, but a lot of teams in the country are having a lot of pauses and stops and starts. It's going to be the way it probably will be this year. But, you know, we'll just have to keep working. We'll get a couple practice days for Rutgers and a couple more practice days before Boston College. So, you know, we can use all these days.
I wanted to check in on Buddy because you obviously said a couple of nights ago that he, you know, wasn't in great spirits. So how is he doing?
He's actually doing great. He's happy. His team's playing well. You know, he misses it, but fortunately he's quarantined at home and there's a gym nearby. So he's probably working out harder than anybody right now.
Once again, the coach montage is brought to us by Bet Online. Now, you may not be able to get to a game this year, but you can always head over to Bet Online. Bet Online, they're going to go the extra mile to make sure you can get on everything imaginable over there. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coach and props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head over to BetOnline today. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all of the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Thank you, BetOnline. And Joe, taking the trophy in the last week of the season for football. I'm a little disappointed in myself there, but we improved. BetOnline said, you know what? We're going to stick with you through basketball. See what you can do there. And we're going to try. But I don't know. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about Manscaped. They got the perfect package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't cut the nuts. Also, it's waterproof, so you can do this in the shower. Why would you do it in the shower? Because you can. That's why. Because it's waterproof. Why not? The lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new perfect package 3.0, which makes it the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut free, and smelling great. And, you know, the disclosure, don't use the same trimmer on your face that you would on your junk below the belt. Obviously, you don't want to do that, so because it's nasty. Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the crop preserver, anti-chafing ball deodorant, and moisturizer. Use it, you need it, and if you tell me you either need it or you're lying. One or the other. There's no in between. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those used pair of boxers.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
To Manscaped high performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to Manscaped, so get yourself your dad, your brother, your buddy, your co-host. Get them the gift that keeps on giving. Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code armchair. Clean yourself up. Make Santa proud. Okay? You don't want coal in your stocking. All right? Don't be nasty. So, the good, Joe. The good. There's a ton of good. There was so much good that I almost didn't do bad and ugly, but I did, and I made them short and sweet because there's so much good. Obviously, the most notable thing, and I think everybody was waiting for it to happen, Joe Girard finally hitting his stride, 6-for-13 from the field. All of those were threes. He was 50% from three. And Alan Griffin, he was great too, hitting his first four, just on fire, started off, and pretty much finished on fire too. 23 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists. Syracuse hitting their stride from distance as a team. They dished out 7 threes in the first 10 minutes of this game. Kadari Richmond continues to shine. 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. Only 7 points, but only shot from the field 5 times. I think he hit 2 of those, obviously. Woody Newton is all but slamming the door on any future opportunity for Braswell. May have in the rotation going forward. We'll have to see. Newton, he still finished with 8 rebounds and 9 points. Just, you know, just good, solid. 8 rebounds is phenomenal. Syracuse finished plus 12 on the boards. I'm not surprised there. I would have expected at least that. So the bad, I mentioned Braswell. He finished with 4 points, 1-for-4 from the field, 0-for-3 from 3. But he did go 2-for-2 at the foul line. Ryder, they had the right strategy, but they just couldn't execute it. And I think this is what we're going to have to get used to. And if someone gets hot, we know how it's going to go. It's going to go the way of Bryant, if not a loss. So 7-for-27 from 3 and 17 for 58 from the field. The ugly, Syracuse, obviously they need to clean up some things on offense. A lot of sloppy passes and some other things led to 16 turnovers on the night. There was one sequence where they got a steal, and then they lost the ball, and then they got a steal, and then they lost the ball. It was a seesaw of just turning the ball over. In fact, Ryder only had 15 turnovers on the night, according to ESPN. That's where I get my stats from. So, Joe, an impressive night shooting for the Orange. They go ahead and they tie the single game record for threes as a team. We were sitting here on Facebook Live just waiting for that 16th one to drop. It never did. Second half kind of cooled off a little bit. A couple more practices under their belt, another game under their belt. I'm seeing a lot of potential for this team and obviously the season going forward as this team gets to play together more. But I don't want to get too excited. As we know, there's some stiffer competition out there. Obviously, Rutgers going to be a good test. But what'd you think of the game, Joe?
Got out of hand quickly, huh?
Got out of hand quickly. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. You were spot on your Ryder Bronx preview was probably the most precise preview you ever gave us, Joe. Just phenomenal. And here I poo-pooed it, so I apologize.
Well, like I said, I think they brought it up a couple times when they were talking about how they had to bring in everybody new and how he lost a bunch of guys. And they even were talking about the coach and how he's a good coach. But what he does is he gets good recruits in there, coaches them up for 1 or 2 years. And then instead of them staying, they end up going and transferring to a better school.
Yeah, it sucks.
So it's unfortunate. And he's going through that. And you could tell that they got some scrappy guys. And that was their first game. So you remember what we looked like in our first game.
Absolutely.
So don't really want to bang on Ryder that much, but I kind of knew, especially when they came out and they were just hitting those threes. You saw Joe hitting the threes and Quincy, and it got up to 6-26. They didn't score 10 points till I think over 10 minutes into the first half. So that's one of those games where you kind of just sit back and you watch and you hope to see good stuff pretty much from everybody. But even you get up so big, you can get the young guys in there and you can see some of their potential too. So just interesting the last two games of that Buddy, seeing these younger guys come in and him going big at the end of the game, putting Woody Newton up at the top of the 2-3 zone, putting two centers in John Bolzac and Anselm.
How do you like Woody up there?
I mean, I like Woody. He's tall and very athletic for him. I mean, he's for active.
He's athletic for his height. Like as far as agility,
a smooth little jump shot. You know what I mean? I think he's just got to
get his feet under him a little. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's got to get his feet under him a little bit, and we'll see what he can do. We haven't seen as far as driving and dunking and stuff like that. But I mean, I don't know. Comparison to maybe a young Wesley Johnson. I don't know if he's going to be that good, but he's got the height and he's definitely got the jumper. It's a nice looking jumper. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see, because I think finally for the first time in a little while, it'll, at least compared to last year, we didn't have anybody to come in for Joe or Buddy except for Howard Washington, right? So
yeah,
or Bryson Goodine, yep. I mean, one of those guys. So it's good to see that. I mean, Richmond out there, he's awesome on defense. I love watching him at the top of the 2-3 zone.
So good.
I
mean, there's things on the stat sheet that are there's things that don't make the stat sheet that Richmond does. That you just got to watch the game and see.
Well, so good. Yeah, and that's what I watch in games like this. In Niagara, when you're up 30 and you're like, oh, everyone wants us to just see highlights. Like, I'm looking at, the younger guys and where they're, messing up and who's playing, a better spot, as far as on defense. Because you remember back in the day, we had depth to where if you didn't play good defense, it really didn't matter. Boeheim was taking you out. But the last 3-4 years, it's been we got – these three guys that can score, so we can't take them out.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how good their defense is. And the problem was that our defense was actually good, and our defense was better than our offense. And last year, it was exactly the opposite. So this year, I don't think Buddy or Joe's minutes are protected. I think that they're going to have to show up, and they're going to have to play defense. And if you have Gerard coming in and making some of these passing mistakes, or he's not hitting his shots, then you're going to see Richmond come in. You know, you're going to see Woody Newton come in if somebody's not playing good on the wing, you know. And even then, it just gives us options because now Alan Griffin can come up to the top of the 2-3 zone or maybe even a Woody Newton if he gets.
I mean, you got five. Well, I mean, you got at least two extra guys. Well, three that can play up there.
Well, and this is what happens when you have full scholarships, too.
Yeah, which we're not used to.
Again, we're getting back to where we were, and I just hope that it's one of those things where
that took forever.
Again,
that took forever.
It felt like it, right? And, yeah. I mean, Joe Girard, obviously he can shoot. Buddy can shoot. Last year, there were our only options, but this year, we have other guys that can score. I don't think rebounding is going to be a problem. I think we're going to be able to score down low with Doljai.
Free throws
and
look good.
Quincy and Alan Griffin's going to be able to score. So. They're not going to need all that scoring. So, you know, if you know you drop off a little bit of scoring with Kadari, then that's fine. But Kadari is just as likely to get a steal and go get a layup with Joe hitting a three, right?
Right. So, and, you know, we talked about, well, who's gonna fill the void of the now departed Utah Jazz destined Elijah Hughes?
Elijah Hughes.
And, well, we don't really need to fill that void because we've got some different kind of basketball, it seems to me. Where we don't have to worry about the one guy that's going to have to be throwing up the rock all the time and taking everything and doing it himself throughout the whole game. So, you know, you heard Coach talk about Buddy is probably practicing more than anybody. I think Buddy is look, this is going to go one of two ways. He's either going to come out like with, you know, fire in his eyes, ready to roll. Yeah. Or just going to drop a deuce. So I think he's going to come out. Obviously, he's going to be coming out and trying to prove. You know, he's angry. He's going to be playing with a chip on his shoulder.
I'm sure
he's very upset about this. Obviously, Coach said he was, and it seemed like Coach was pretty upset about it too. I think it was a little personal for Coach. Not the Ryder press conference, but the one before that. Against Niagara. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, against Niagara. So, anyway, I mentioned free throws. Anselm, they played 9 minutes, and he scored 6 points. He went 1-for-1. And like you heard Coach say, he was moving around pretty good. 4-for-5 from the line. It's pretty good, man. Like, you get big guys that shoot like that. Yeah, I'm happy with that. You know, the only one is Sidibe, really, because everybody's doing a pretty good job at the foul line that I've seen so far. Even Braswell went 2-for-2. So that's another rebounds and foul shots are things that kind of on and off have plagued us the past few years. And in team play, so we haven't seen a lot of that. It seems like all this stuff is getting fixed. Could it be?
Yeah. And the thing, too, that the other big thing about Richmond, too, is that he, Brooklyn, New York, Park Ball, you can see it. You can see it in him, like, he gets the ball, he wants to go. He gets a rebound, he goes. He's starting to bring back, you know, the rebound, fast break, let's go. We used to do that, right? Last year we didn't do that. Buddy couldn't do that. Yeah. Joe couldn't do that. And now we see a guy where, you know, we're going to be able to get 10-plus points off of fast breaks a game, 15 points, because we're going and people are running.
And we've complained about that for the past few years. Like, there's no running. There's no run in the court. Doljai was kind of the bright spot in that aspect the past couple of years for us. He was really the one that was leading the way on that. So that's pretty much it. It's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you.
That's what I just said.
The loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, you guys know the deal. Go to the socials after the game. I'll ask you for your thoughts on the game, or I'll ask you something. Anyways, you go there, you leave those thoughts or those comments. I'll sift through them a little bit here and there and pick out some of the ones that I think are worthy. And I will start with, let me see. Let's start with Facebook. Jesse. I want to see Kadari and Griffin at the top of the zone and Buddy play at the wing when he gets back. Quincy at the 4, Mark at the 5 with Joe and Woody off the bench. 7-man rotation the rest of the year. Bring in Jesse when you need him. Quincy can get boards down low. I mean, look, I wouldn't count anything out. with the talent and the players that are on this team right now, I wouldn't count anything.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even think that Jesse's a guaranteed backup there at the depth. I mean,
I know
he's been playing Anselm, Jesse, and Bolzac.
Yeah.
Right. So
yep.
He's trying to figure out who that depth guy is going to be.
So
for
far,
right
it's
now.
Anselm.
Someone's got to step up, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because someone's going to have to when we get to these games with Sidibe being out. But once Sidibe gets back, you know, hopefully maybe this time it's going to develop somebody to where Mark can still play in the wing even when Sidibe gets back. And maybe you don't got to put a Mark in the middle. You can put one of these guys. But either way, the competition and everything, it's obviously going to help all three of them.
A lot of versatile players. And we saw Buddy on the wing last year a few times when he needed to be there. And he did pretty good. He did pretty good. So, I mean, I wouldn't count anything out at this point. Jason, it shows Jimmy should be using his bench more in certain situations. Well, I don't think he had much of a choice. Daryl, top fan. Daryl, is this again? Is Daryl getting in? Is he double dipping right now? Jeez. Top fan, Daryl. Richmond absolutely is going to be a stud. Benny Williams is sneaky good. Quincy had a off night. It's okay. I can't wait to see his coach how coach handles playing time when Buddy comes back. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Joe G struggled again tonight. No, he didn't. Did we watch the same game, Daryl? He did struggle.
Five turnovers.
Yeah, he did. He did. But he also had what 21 points. I continue to believe that Richmond will cut into Joe's playing time. I absolutely love the young players being aggressive on the boards. I know it was Ryder, but you can clearly see that Richmond and Williams are playing hard to get more playing time. Go Cuse, screw COVID, beat Rutgers. Yeah, all of that, except for Joe having an off night. Look, Joe turns the ball over. That's not really an off night, I don't think. I think it's normal. I mean, he's got to do a better job at taking care of the ball. Plain and simple.
Right.
We've talked about
it. Again, we have the depth to where if you're going to turn the ball over or if you're not going to play defense, you're going to get pulled.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, like the different combos on the floor, youngsters got good minutes. Looks like rotation may have to be expanded when Buddy returns. We talk a lot about coach playing 7-8 guys. I don't know how you got to play at least 8. At least. I don't see any other way around it. But you know, coach, I mean, when you get in these situations, like, okay, like, let's take a look at the Rutgers game. I'd be willing to bet he keeps it tight. It's going to be tight, obviously, right? You know? Just, you know, depending on how it's going. But at Tony Staffieri on Twitter, it appears rhythm has been established. One thing to nitpick is Griffin doesn't look comfortable in the zone yet. Not a hot take, but a win at Rutgers could keep them on the right side of Selection Sunday bubble for a change. And there was a lot of talk about, you know, if Syracuse beats Rutgers, will they get ranked? Well, Rutgers only ranked, what, 24th? So I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think you got to take notice of Syracuse at that point. You know, Rutgers is, we'll get into that.
Well, and that's another thing to worry about, too, or to think about, is that Ryder and Niagara aren't the best of competition. I think Bryant is definitely a better, I think Bryant would be able to beat both of those teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we got to kind of see what we see as far as a grain of salt. You know, it might be a situation where you step up against Rutgers, and I'm sure we're going to find out on Tuesday, but we're going to find out who's going to be able to handle that kind of stuff, because that's going to be big boy basketball, you know. Woody Newton can show up and hit these shots, or maybe some of these big guys can play okay now against Ryder in Niagara. But when you play against some of these other teams, you know, those guys aren't guaranteed minutes yet. Although Woody is garnering, he's really, really close to saying, hey, we're going to have to get him some minutes. But the only one to me is Kadari Richmond that is solidified minutes.
Oh, it's solidified for sure. But you're right.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to get... You know, in some of these upcoming games, you got to get maybe Anselm or whoever he thinks, you know.
One of those guys are going to have to play. You know, even if you throw them in there, they're 5 minutes. They're 5 fouls.
Yeah, exactly.
Get in there and don't make it easy.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. With Rutgers, then we go play, hopefully have Buddy back for Boston College, and we got to look all the way to January 2nd, at least for Sidibe. So I think
With Rutgers, it's going to be rebounding.
Right. Well, and then we don't have many games we're going to be able to play around anymore, is my point. You got Rutgers, Boston College, Buffalo, who I don't know for sure, but they were solid, pretty solid last year.
They've been pretty solid, yeah.
Then you got Notre Dame and Wake Forest. before you look to even think about getting Sidibe back. So I don't know what you do and how you do it, but obviously Jim's going to be able to figure that out through practice. And let's just hope that they get the practices in. At Oil Cuse, I can't believe Alan Griffin wasn't going to play that much at Illinois. How good is Illinois? That's a great freaking question.
I think they're a top 10 team.
That's a great question.
We'll see.
Yeah, Richmond is going to be the key to this team going forward. Jimmy better not forget about him when Buddy gets back. I don't think he will. Frank Anselm is going to be good. Had a good touch and is quick off his feet. Yeah, for a big guy, he's agile. I mean, that you know, I'm not a talent scout, but I know what I see. And like Joe said, that's what I was looking forward to in that second half. And, you know, he got to see, he got solid 9 minutes. I mean, look what Braswell did in 9 minutes. He did, I mean, Frank was better. But Frank did score more at the, he only shot one shot, made it, and scored at the foul line. So he got to the foul, yeah, and he got to the foul line. So, and you got to be able to do that, obviously. At ZW Rodburn, exactly what we expected. Easy orange W, shooting A+. Kadari good again and make the 2-3 zone so much better. Things got a little sloppy when the bench got involved, which is going to be expected this early in the year. Rutgers will be good. Litman's test for this group. Yeah. And that's kind of the benchmark, right, Joe? You know, Rutgers is ranked. They're supposed to be pretty good. We'll get into all that. But obviously, that one makes me nervous. And I am excited and also anxious a little bit to see how they do Tuesday night at 9:30, for crying out loud. At Mahirio_10, wish they broke the record for threes, but oh well, nice to see Joe Girard back, break out, and Griffin do his thing. Also, can we talk about how Anselm has a nice free throw line stroke? Last 5 minutes of the game, that lineup, man, the length was really nice to see. Good win. No positive tests, please. Exactly. Like, we got to stay. These kids, I am sorry, they got to stay in a bubble. Like, keep them away from anything that's going to subject them to a positive test, because we're struggling. We're going to be struggling with the positive testing. I think 14 days is insane. It's insane.
Yeah, and I would like to actually read into what that protocol is, because I know for, you know, just listening and paying attention throughout the sports news and even, you know, just news period, I mean, there's false positive tests out there all the time. So I hope that there's something in that protocol to be able to say, oh, okay, if you get tested, okay, well, test me in 2 days or 3 days. And then if it's negative, then we can figure something out, right?
Because you're getting tested probably a few days before the positive anyway. So there's no, you know what I mean? So there's no way if you get one a couple of days after testing positive that that 4 or 5 day period is going to be coming on. Right.
Right. So in my opinion, they should still be testing even after. And as soon as you test negative, you should be able to go back. I don't really understand why, you know, you see what I'm saying?
And Buddy's, like, was contact traced. So,
well, and that was the whole thing, right? So with him, it's a situation where it was contact tracing. So you have to sit back and kind of wait to see if you end up getting it. But I don't, like you said, I think 14 days is insane.
That's insane.
Without a doubt.
7 to 10, maybe. Talking about going down to 7. At least that's what coach says. I don't know. Whatever. One more. At Mets Home Run Guy, I'm buying Syracuse stock for the future. I'm investing heavy in Kadari Richmond, dabbling in some Newton and some Anselm. Orange basketball, fire emojis. Yeah, he's playing buy, sell, and hold all by himself. Good job. Good.
Nice.
Job. Yes, absolutely.
I like it.
I love it. I want some more of it. All right.
You have to. Only seniors are Dolezal and Sidibe.
I know it. And they get an extra year if they want it.
Right. So you take away people possibly, you know, going to the NBA. I don't know who, possibly maybe Quincy or Griffin
maybe,
or something.
Maybe
but
Quincy or Griffin.
If they don't, if they have that good of a year, right? But if not, you're talking about you could have this whole team back.
Why is there a dog in here?
Because you have two dogs.
Unbelievable. Yeah, but I block them out. All right. Hey, the all-time series with Rutgers sits at 39-9 in favor of the Orange. Rutgers, an old Big East rival, obviously. Syracuse would go 21-4 against Rutgers in Big East play. They met in the tournament only once, in the Big East tournament, that is, with the Orange winning 81-57. The last time these two teams played, was in, easy for me to say, it was in January 2013. Brandon Trish led in points with 25, and Michael Carter-Williams led in assists with 10. Syracuse has won the last 13 meetings in a row with Rutgers. So, Joe, they're ranked 24th. They're 3-0. Sacred Heart, who is this? Fairleigh Dickinson and Hofstra? What the frick? Who's Fairleigh Dickinson? Would they play one person?
No.
What happened? All right. Tell us about Rutgers, Joe.
Yeah, like, again, going to what you said, I think they haven't played that great a competition, obviously, but not really close games as well. They were, I think, I believe 20-11 last year when the world stopped and they canceled the NCAA games. So they were headed to the NCAA tournament anyway, returning four starters and brought in a couple good freshmen. One of them, the guys, the center, was a very highly ranked, highly touted center, Cliff Omarui. Hope I said that right. This team basically has been starting four guards and Omarui as a center, and then they have another junior backup center, Miles Johnson. Those two are both 6'11", so they got height in the middle to pose kind of issues as far as that goes. But our problems really are going to be with the guards, Ron Harper Jr. And Jacob Young. Ron Harper Jr. is a junior, and Jacob Young's a senior as far as guards go, and those guys, they lead in points and most of the other stats. Montez Mathis, another junior that played a lot of minutes last year, he's also up there with 15 points a game, right next to where Jacob Young at 15. Ron Harper's got 21 points a game. So those are your three main guys, your guards. Ron Harper's 6'6", Jacob Young 6'2", and Montez Mathis is 6'4". So you got some tall guards. You also got Paul Mulcahy. I think that's his name. He's another guard, another 6'6 guard. He plays a lot of minutes too. So those four guards in Omarui have been the starters. And then Miles Johnson has come in. And then another freshman from Melbourne, Mawat Mag, 6'7", I think, 6'7", 6'8", forward or something. He's been the other forward that comes out and plays more or less off the bench. So they really only look like they're going seven deep, even against these kind of lower competition teams. So they're definitely a team they're physical. They're going to be in your face playing defense. They got height at the guard position.
What's Dole weighing these days?
What's that?
What's Dole weighing? What's Dolezal weighing these days? 205?
Oh, God. Yeah, something like that.
What's this guy's name?
Amaroi.
Amaroi.
Amarui.
Yeah.
6'11", 240.
6'11", 240. So, Amarui.
Yes.
According to
Miles Johnson, 6'11", 255. Those are the two centers that are going to be in there. So, 240 and 255. So, again, rebounding is going to be a big deal. And I think looking at their stats and looking at the games that they played, I haven't got a chance to watch them yet. But they, on the season, are 12 of 41 from the three-point line. So, I mean, we made more threes the last game.
Yeah, they're not taking a lot. They're not taking a lot. Maybe that's they obviously, you know, they're going to game plan for that though when we go and play them.
Right, but I guess it's one of those things where if you got 3-point shooters, then you shoot them. I don't think you make a point not to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's
even
a good
when you're
point.
Playing against the smaller competition, you're playing the way you're trying to play the way that you're implementing your offense and how you
right. and you want
to
right.
and plan to play, right? So
mm-hmm. I agree.
I kind of scripted. I mean, three games, 41 3-pointers, right? That's not even close to where we are. So
we shot 30 last night.
Right. So it's gonna be. It's going to be a rough game. I can see Rutgers going to the line a lot. I think foul trouble on our side is going to be a huge, huge deal. And you know, I think we're going to pack it in. I think we're going to force them to try to shoot threes. I think Jim's going to have a good idea of who can make some threes because, again, 5 out of 7 of their main rotation are juniors or higher. So they were there last year. Boeheim knows what they can do. So a good game plan is definitely going to be key as far as defensive wise. And then again, I mean, just the rebounds and the free throws is where Rutgers is going to make their mark. They're going to drive and they're going to take jumpers and pass the ball around and try and get those spots that you can get in the 2-3 zone. And they got upperclassmen that can do it. They say Jacob Young, their senior guard, is possibly one of the fastest guys in the league. So, if not the country. So we're going to have issues with some guys, but I think that our defense kind of works good against, you know, it's a good matchup against their offense. You know, it's just basically we're going to have to show up and play, and we're not going to be able to let these guys push us around.
We're in limit the turnovers, for crying out loud. We can't be turning the ball over 16, 17 times. Well, the last two games was 16 against Ryder and 17 against Niagara. And come on, that's Ryder and Niagara, guys. You can't turn the ball over. That's it. We're done with the turning the ball over stuff. That stuff needs to be cleaned up. They got to start playing. Yeah. They got to start playing like serious. And I understand that some of that stuff with the turnovers and the passes is some of it's cutesy BS that they're just, I think,
trying to do some fancy stuff. Yeah, when you're up 20,
I think,
right?
So I think they realize the leash is a little bit longer with some of those teams, and that I just hope that they realize that. You know, we can't do that going into Rutgers and even, you know, Buffalo and Notre Dame, Wake Forest.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think our games to mess around or even do that kind of stuff. I mean, from here on out, it's all serious.
Yeah.
And every game is pretty much important. This would be a huge, obviously, to be able to get this under our belt. You know, you might even push us to the point where we could possibly be ranked if that's the case. So I would be really confident in this game if Buddy was playing. But yeah, we're just going to have to.
We will have to see. And see
where it lies, man.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Look, just looking ahead on the schedule real quick, we don't have a game time for Boston College. We'll just have to see when it is. But the next available time where we can get in. And, you know, I know that I was doing the Facebook Live stuff and people couldn't watch the game. But I'll try it again for Poops and Giggles, and we'll see how it goes. We'll just have some fun with it. So I know there's people that will show up, and it'll be like Top Fan Daryl.
If we...
you can talk over it. It's fine.
Yeah, I was just going to... scared me.
Real quick.
We can get their big guys in foul trouble.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
That would be... Yeah. Because, like, again, you have the 2-6-11 guys, and then you drop to 6-7.
Yeah. So... That's a big, huge difference.
That kind of stuff. It's that and rebounding, you know. And I hope that now that we're in the competition, it doesn't go back to, you know, what last year was, where our defense was and giving up all those offensive rebounds and all that other stuff. Because these guys are scrappy, they're athletic, and you know they're going to give us a run. We're going to have to go in there and play hard for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So 9:30 tomorrow night. Let's have our Tuesday night. Excuse me. It might be tomorrow as you're listening to this, though. That's what I meant. Just testing everybody. All right.
Huh.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody who's come to listen. Thank you to everybody who participated in fan feedback. Obviously, Bet Online, Manscaped, and that's it. We'll see you soon. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.